We are back. You are listening to Davin's Den. Number to call in, 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. On the break, that was Donald O. That was his song. Everything's going to be all right, which is apropos.
Is it? Is it?
I think so. Until you snap like a loon. So, yeah, that was cool. Let's do... should we do some comics in the news now that we're off the therapy couch?
Never really completely off.
Do a little comics in the news. Haven't done comics in the news in a while. Here we go. Comics in the news.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
All right, we got a couple stories tonight. The first one we'll talk about... Ari Shaffir, he's, I guess he's known. I want to call him a household name, but he's somewhat known.
We don't talk about him in my house.
Well, you don't talk about anything in your house. You guys don't communicate anymore. It's really kind of sad.
We just kind of meow at each other.
Okay. But anyway, so he had a Comedy Central special, and he decided to call out a comedian that nobody's really heard of before him. So this is her response to that, and you guys can weigh in on what you think of this. Come on, you cock.
That's what they call it. That's what a response was.
Would have been mine, but...
Bring the cock.
Here it is. This is...
Hi, my name is Damian Merlina, and I am a fat, one-armed stand-up comedian who lives in Los Angeles, California. When I was 6 years old, I lived in a homeless shelter. When I was 11 years old, my 12-year-old sister was kidnapped and raped. When I was 22 years old, I moved to Los Angeles, and Mitzi Shore saw me the first time I was ever on her stage and made me a paid regular at the Comedy Store. 2 months later, I was in a car accident and my arm was ripped off, and that brings us up to date, which is last Friday, Comedy Central aired a comedy special called Passive Aggressive by the comedian Ari Shaffir, in which he states my first and last name and goes on to say that I am fat, annoying, and...
I'm talking to this girl in Los Angeles, comedian. Her name is Damian Merlina. She's so annoying. She's the worst. We never have anything to talk about. She's not even that annoying. We just have nothing in common. Also, she has one arm. But, I'm only telling you because if you ever saw her, you'd be like, wait, I don't know, is that her or not? Because he didn't mention the part about the one arm, so maybe it's not her. I knew her when she had two arms. And she smelled, she stalked, she had that fat smell. You know the fat smell? To wash under the belly fold, like you just can't get under there for whatever reason. I'm sure the one arm didn't help.
There's no punchline to his joke. I've never had more than two paragraphs of conversation with him. And this isn't funny. It's not comedy. It's bullying. My first instinct was to challenge him to a roast battle or to strike out at him in some way. As tempting as it is to, you know, make a list of all the horrible things about Ari, it's not how I want to spend my time as a human being. I mentioned everything that has happened in my life and the adversity I have faced because... You know, because these terrible things happen and you feel ashamed. And they're not your fault. And you can still go on and to do wonderful things and to be kind. And no matter what happens to you, you should never, ever, ever let anyone make you feel like less, because all people are equal. And it's not okay to attack people based on their size or their physicality in any way, whether it's the color of the skin, whether it's their sexual orientation, whether it's the number of limbs they have, if it's a cleft palate, if it's cerebral palsy, if it's multiple sclerosis, if they're in a wheelchair. You can have bad experiences in life, and you can turn them into positive experiences, and you can have bad experiences in life, and you can still be a nice person, and you can still be a funny person without being super, super duper crappy to other people. Hey, Ari, have you ever heard of stem cell research? Because my arm just started to grow back. Watch.
And she gave him the finger. A little background on Ari Shaffir. He had actually gotten Howard Stern's attention several weeks ago because he went on Joe Rogan's podcast. Ari went on Joe Rogan's podcast and pretty much said Howard Stern was irrelevant to broadcasting and really didn't know what he was talking about. So,
Oh my God.
You can imagine Howard would not let that sit.
Yeah, well, the whole thing erupted because Howard Stern made a whole thing about the way radio is. And Howard Stern is like, what you do is you go to a small station, you get a job at a small station, and you build it up. And that's the way you do it. You don't do a podcast. Who's going to listen to a podcast? You go to a small station and you work your way up. The dynamic has changed on that.
I mean, a few people, our pals, Warden Al, the Warden Al Show, they had a podcast. Now they're on Sirius XM Canada Talks. For the most part, though, you started a small radio station.
Yes.
And you work your way up. If you get ratings there, if they're a big enough station to keep a book.
Right.
You know, you go someplace in the middle of the country in a flyover state. You get ratings there. Then you go to a top 30 market. Mm-hmm. You get ratings. You know, that's how you do it. Mm-hmm. To accomplish things on the internet or the podcast is the long way around for most of us.
Yes.
And it's the way things are going now.
It's really not, though.
It actually is if you talk to a lot of people. You talk to Anthony, you talk to the people hanging out on the show.
You talk to Anthony, though.
You talk to Anthony.
Anthony was made on terrestrial radio.
I understand that, but you talk to a lot of people that are doing internet shows now that are making money off of it, and the whole dynamic has changed.
If Anthony was nobody, if Anthony was a tin knocker and then did an internet radio show, nobody would care.
But that's what gives everybody their chops, getting out there and doing it, getting noticed.
Sure, but
it's changed.
But you can get your chops on terrestrial radio too. There's plenty of small stations.
I'm going to shoot that fucking dog. But getting to that point the internet has changed everything.
Give me five people that have crossover success built from their internet radio show. That started from the internet radio show.
Mark Maron.
Was successful before that. Had comedy specials on Comedy Central.
But still, nonetheless.
No. Were they starting from the podcast? Where they were an unknown, and now because of their podcast, they've crossed over.
That's not the question. The question is
that
this.
Is what we're talking
about.
No,
but the question is people that are starting it, regardless if they were a comic or not. And Mark Maron did not have that big following when he started. He built it up.
Well, yeah, because he was bouncing around the city and on Comedy Central, and he knew all those big comics to have on his show.
And that's building it up. That's the way he did it.
But he wasn't an unknown. If he was unknown, he's not getting Seinfeld to do his podcast. Right.
Well, take a look at Anthony's brother. And it's due to that. Anthony's had Ian Anderson on last week. He's getting all these big
Anthony's. Joe was on Anthony's show all the time back in the day.
I understand that, but he's not going to a radio station. They're not going to radio stations.
Yes, you can get practice
this.
Doing it, but that's not what Howard was talking about.
He was.
But wait, I think you
Howard's
guys are getting way far afield of the topic.
Yeah,
of this
we are. But Howard, Howard was talking about how you get known and have a big broadcasting career. Most of those people on the internet now, Anthony, you tell me, he's making more money than he was in Sirius, and that's great. That's fantastic. But most of the people on the internet and podcasts, us included, want some of that sweet, sweet syndicated terrestrial money. Anthony will even tell you that was the pinnacle of his career.
Mm-hmm.
He even talked about
everything started to change.
Right, but he even says that was the pinnacle of Opie and Anthony when they were syndicated terrestrially.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we all want. And, you know, even Howard Stern was more relevant when he was syndicated terrestrially. The reason Howard's relevant now, first of all, he's Howard, but because he's got America's Got Talent. That's why, which is mainstream network television. That's where people are. The easier it is to find you, people will find you. If you're on ABC, they're going to find you. If you're on Westwood One or Cumulus Broadcasting, they're going to find you. If you're, you know, listen, people find us, but it's a lot harder.
Well, the thing is, because all of this is in its infancy stage. It's like saying the horseless carriage, poppycock.
It's been going on for over a decade.
Not to the extent it is now.
Horseless carriage.
Well, there's more people now, which just means it's harder to find good programming because there's so much muck in there. Mm-hmm. And you will hear every comic we talk about. Every comic has a podcast.
Yeah,
of them blow.
And it's right now it's the process of everybody in it, and then the cream will rise to the crop.
When people tell me stand up comedy's having a new boom. You know what? When my money goes up, I'll believe the boom. Well, yeah, it's the same thing with this. When unknowns unknowns who didn't have success prior to this. A lot of unknowns are making a living with their podcasts and internet radio. And not a few. There's always a few.
Yeah.
But then this has arrived. But that's not the point. Anyway, Ari Shaffir got a lot of undue attention to Howard Stern. You know, when you get mentioned by Howard Stern as the focus of a 20-minute discussion.
Or rant.
A rant, as the case may be. You get a lot of undue attention.
Right.
Ari's got a successful podcast. Again, not a household name.
No.
Comedy Central gave him this special. I actually saw this special because of this. I wanted to see what it was.
Right.
How was it? Was it all right?
It's okay. You know, I'm not going to say he sucks. He doesn't suck.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not really blown away by many Comedy Central specials.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine. There was a couple moments I chuckled.
Right.
But, I mean, most of these things don't make me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not really that impressed with a lot of this stuff. But that's just me.
Well, we're so, you know.
He's polished. He's fine. Yeah. I mean, this isn't an untalented guy, but.
You're jaded.
I might be jaded. He just might be getting more attention than he deserves.
Right.
So, anyway. Since Damien is a professional comic, and we are public figures, although most of the public doesn't want to look at us, figures. But, I mean, is she fair game?
No.
Why?
I'll tell you.
Okay. Glad we got this format, this booming format.
Because she did nothing to warrant him going, making fun of her.
What has Kourtney Kardashian ever done? To be more, I mean, she's the lead. She's the one that's a mom trying to raise her family. What is Kourtney? I get why Kim Kardashian gets all the shit she does. She's divorcing people every 3 months.
Because she's more well known, and there's a lot of people that really look at her and don't really like her. She's more of a public. She's a bigger public figure that does what she does and has no real.
So it's
talent.
The size of the public figure.
It's the talent of the public figure. I mean, the Kardashians are no talents that are making.
I don't. I know it's popular to say. I don't really believe that. If you can make so many people interested in you and have so many strong opinions about you, care either positively or negative, there's a talent there.
But they're in the public eye as these spoiled rich women that really never worked a day in their life, get pampered and stuff like that, and there's sort of a resentment and
people are jealous.
They're part of pop culture, and when you go to pop culture, everybody is aggravated by the Kardashians. So if a comic makes fun of them, they're fair game.
But
on
we're in the public eye. We're going every weekend. We're going on stage, or more. Go look at me. Pay attention to me. We're begging for the type of attention. Now, this is negative attention, but a lot of the attention.
But the thing about
it
is that this young lady, nobody really knows her. So to
wants to be known.
But the thing about it is nobody really knows her. So to poke fun at her, about a person nobody really knows about, it's kind of a personal thing. Even though you might consider her a public figure, with a Kardashian, you know, everybody knows her. And comedy is about taking something that is hypocritical, somebody that the public is like. Ugh, something like that, and poking fun at that.
Well, what about victims of violent crimes, like Martin and that goof from Florida? I mean, they the guy that shot Trayvon Martin. Can't think of his name. George
Zimmerman.
Yeah, exactly. Right. They weren't looking for fame, but we all had a bunch of jokes about them.
Yeah, but the thing is this kid got shot that people thought might have been the instigator on this, and George Zimmerman. Is an asshole.
Right, but what I'm saying is they weren't trying to get attention to public figures. But and so I would argue that Damien and was trying to get more attention, obviously not this attention, was trying to get more attention than a victim of a violent crime was, and still we have jokes about them.
Well, what do you mean by now define getting more attention?
If you're doing what we do or what we do as comics or what we do here, in my mind, we're public figures. We're not going about our business trying to be unknown. Unless you're changing your name. You know, she tries to keep up. You know, Pip has her public identity for her reasons. So she's trying to be unknown. You and I are doing our damnedest to get known. So if somebody went on Comedy Central and made fun of us, and though we're relatively unknown, I think it's poor taste. I think it's fair game. I think this girl is fair game.
I don't think
what he did is cool.
I don't think, well, here's the deal. I don't think she was fair game. I don't, because she's not that well known. If you're going in front of a bunch of strangers and you're talking to a bunch of strangers and goofing on somebody that they don't, well, it's kind of complex in a way. I mean, because he's dragging her out. If you goof on somebody that's a stranger, okay?
Well, she's not really being dragged out. She's playing at the Comedy Store. It's one of the biggest clubs in the country.
But the thing is, she didn't do anything to instigate.
But that's not the question. I agree. He's a dick. But what I'm saying is, that's not the question. What I'm saying is she a public figure and therefore fair game? Whether I would personally do it or not is not up.
She's not public. She's not enough of a public figure.
Well, what makes you a public figure then? I mean, she's out there doing what we do as stand-up comics. We're doing look at me.
To
we're not a, trying to toil
to
in
have
anonymity.
A degree of notoriety. You're fair game if you have a degree of notoriety, whether it's positive notoriety or it's not positive notoriety.
Are you fair game?
It depends on what circles. If I get busted, if I get my balls busted in Reddit by people that listen to the Anthony Cumia show, and I do, I get on Reddit. Oh, why does that guy laugh so much? Why is he? But you know what? I'm there. I'm part of it. I'm Ant's friend. You know, and I get my balls busted. Yeah, I'm fair game in that context.
Right. Well, he's talking about, but in his context, and again, I'll get about what I really think about what he did. But in his context, she's fair game because she's in his world in a place that's all about spectacle.
But
looking at
world,
me,
his world is not the public's world, and the woman did not do anything to instigate why he set
but
the
that's
jokes
not,
up.
But that's not the question I'm asking you. I'm asking you, is she a public figure?
No, she's not.
I think she is. Pip?
Well, you know what? She's not really well known. I think anybody who's a performer in that aspect of their life, they do become a public figure. However, what I just heard him talking about was nothing to do with her act, her being a public figure. It's the stuff you don't do.
Well, right. There you go. There you go. What he did had nothing to do with her.
Nothing.
It was just evil stuff, which I'm
no,
not...
No, it did have to do with her.
No, but I'm saying like about her about her public
it
persona.
It wasn't about her public performer. There were ad hominem attacks on her what she looked like, what he perceived her interest level, you know, interesting level in conversation to be. This was personal. It's like he said, I have my friend Stella come over and she smells bad and she's got a funny nose and, you know, she had this birthmark taken off and it's made it all lumpy. It's like, dude, you're just being a dick. This isn't funny. You're just being horrible about a person these people don't even know.
And even if he came out and said, there's this girl I know. She got one arm. She got, you know, if he did that, I'm like, I would be like, well, that's cool because you really
that's
don't
fine.
Know this part, you know.
Yeah.
But she named
oh,
the
he
person.
Went too far.
He went too far.
But I think what he did is despicable. I just think she's a fair target. Not for that. I wouldn't target anybody like that.
I don't think she's a fair target for that.
I think we're all fair targets. I think once you put yourself out there for public consumption as a product, which we all do.
But she hasn't on a public level where you could go on Comedy Central and mention her
name.
Oh,
it's unfair the playing field. That, you know, that he's attacking from. It's definitely unfair.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, once people like ourselves and Damien put ourselves out there for the public consumption to go look at me, since we're not living in our house trying to live anonymously, trying to live our day-to-day, we are doing this to get the approval of a bunch of strangers. Go, look at me. Pay attention to me. And you know what? Now we know who she is.
That kind of worked in her advantage.
Maybe,
but
if
but
she's
the,
funny, maybe.
But
she
the
can
thing
make it
about
her.
It is the whole context. I should probably do more for her career than his.
Oh, I don't know. This guy still. You know, actually, I was doing a show. What was it last Monday at the Stand, and I heard his name was on the show. I didn't see him, but I was thinking, what do I do? Do I not say anything? Do I say anything? Do I throw him up against the wall? What do I do?
Yeah,
I decided if I did see him, I was just going to be like, man, what was that about?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask, like, why?
Right. Now, on his side, you know, I can't go, you know, as a comic, I'm appalled. And I'd never do something like that. Number one, I would not do something like that. But
right.
I'm not appalled.
Comedy Central special?
But listen to me. I'm not appalled. Because you know what? If I had something I wanted to go out and say, and I said it, it's my decision, and I have to go, and I have to live by that. If he goes out and he wants to goof on this girl, and he feels a conviction of doing it, I don't agree with it, but I'm not going to go, you know, I wouldn't do that, and you shouldn't do that. No, you do what you want,
well,
and you have to live with that, you know, you have to live with the conviction
you're
going out
with. I don't
think
it's cool comics calling out other comics.
No.
If they're not in the room.
Right, if it's not a roast, you know, and they're in the room. Yeah.
I've been, I mean, Reverend Bob Levy, you know, back in the day, we'd do shows on occasionally, and he'd bust on me from the stage, and I'd bust on him from
we'd
the
do
stage.
That. There's yeah. nights when it's a really easygoing show, and people know about our show, we're hanging out, we're having a good time, we'll bust each other's balls.
Sure.
But it and we'll do it, and it's and that night has to be a certain feeling. We just can't go to a show. There's a certain feeling where the the comics warmed up to us, and they're having a good time with us, and they know that we're good friends, and we can go back and they're running the joke, and they have a good there has to be a certain feeling, the vibe in the room that night when Davin and
he's
I do
opening
that.
With this. He's and he's not passive aggressive. This is just aggressive.
Yes.
You know, I have the real first
vicious.
Of all, I think this shows a lack of ability by him.
Yes.
Here's your big break, and this is what you're going to waste time with out of all the things you could be talking about.
But the thing about it is now we all know people that do Comedy Central specials. They're not us, but nonetheless, we do know some people. And when you talk to them, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to be doing a Comedy Central thing, or I'm going to be doing a spot. And they go room to room to room. They have their manager guiding them, and you know their friends and stuff that.
I can't talk to you right now about Oprah. Going from room to room, for a
right,
spot.
Right, right. But the thing about it is, you have to go over with not less Comedy Central, but your manager.
No, I blame Comedy Central. Comedy Central edits these things to crap.
Yeah,
they edit out a lot of that's the only way I can assume that these are actually good comics.
But if they don't,
that they're presenting.
But you know what? Maybe they don't know the backstory enough about this woman. Whether
they don't know the backstory. They hear him targeting this woman who they don't know in the first 5 minutes of his special. They have all the editing power in the world. They make good comics look like crap. Crap comics look good. I blame Comedy Central did the wrong thing here. They first of all, like you said, I'm sure they went over the thing because you don't get on Comedy Central unless you present your jokes.
Not only present it, but talking with your manager, you go over your set with your manager. I watched Adam go over their sets and stuff like that. What we're going to do and what we should do. I can't believe the manager and him sat down and said, "All right, this is a good way to go."
Yeah, I mean, the one thing is that first of all, what were his jokes, I'm saying, using air quotes here. He brings up a comedian that most people don't know, so it's almost virtually bringing up a stranger. And his strong suit is, she bores me, he has a bad example. Then her, the other thing is, and she's fat, so she smells. Oh my God, no guy has ever used a woman being fat as a joke. It's the first go-to. It's the first go-to to insult a woman. Every guy has that in his arsenal. Every prick has that in his
arsenal. I don't think I have that. I got to go to my arsenal.
Got
to be in there somewhere.
Every man has that. It's the first thing you do to attack a woman. Say she's fat. It's so fucking easy.
I don't think I've done that.
You're a decent human being.
Let's not get crazy.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
That's the first place.
This is why when I get my special, the first 15 minutes will be about berating you.
All right, let's say it was.
No, because I got shit important to talk about.
Let's say it was.
Do you know stupid? You must know stupid.
But do you think I'm enough of a public figure where I would be fair game for that?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't. I don't operate on that level.
But let's
and
say
I wouldn't
you did.
Waste time but talking
let's say
about
it
you.
Did. But let's say it did. Do you think I'm enough of a public figure
absolutely.
Where that would be fair game? Really? Where people in California would all Joe Curry.
Yeah. Because you were in the background laughing and certainly the point of topic on many in Opie and Anthony show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I say, hey, Foot. You guys know him from Foot.
Yeah, but nobody knows me. I mean,
I'm painfully aware.
That circle, but I mean on a national level.
It was a friggin' national show, Joe. Yeah.
Yeah.
They would. I know you toil in obscurity, but still people know of you.
I toil in obscurity. I don't think that many people know me where that would be warranted. Where it would be.
Listen, but attacking you is always warranted. But no, I mean, I wouldn't do that. But it is fair game.
But I would say in that context, it wouldn't be right. Now, let's say that we do a Big Davin's Den show. And you and I
cross our fingers.
And you and I, a Big Davin's Den show. And you come out on stage and you go, did you see what he posted on Facebook? Curry is so stupid that he actually believes that the Republican Party, you know, stuff like that.
You've got this all prepared.
But here's the deal.
Good.
In the context of that. That's fine.
Right.
Because I'm known in that circle.
Right.
People know me. I'm fair game. We're on a national level in this context of this situation, it's not the case.
Well, like I said, you mentioned him, the manager, all valid points.
Mm-hmm.
I think the buck stops with Comedy Central. They're the one. I saw it on demand. So it's there for replay and replay and replay. I mean, somebody has to go, why are we? This guy's got no other jokes.
That was my argument. Is I'm saying every butthole has got the, oh, she's fat. and then going for the super, super duper cheap shot of she has one arm. What the fuck, dude? Really, this is what you got?
It really didn't have to do with anything.
No.
I mean,
he just decided that somebody annoyed him and he wanted to excoriate them.
But I mean, her fat had to do, I guess, not that I would go with her smelling, I guess. But the one arm, unless we're talking about when we did a pull-up competition, I don't know what the one arm had to do with anything.
No, because he had to go for the extra low blow.
He wanted to make sure everybody knew who this girl was.
Right, right. And you know what? Oh, you're a fucking genius. I hate this guy for this.
I think Comedy Central sucks for this.
Yeah.
I think he sucks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I really was thinking about what I would say to him because I really thought there was a chance I was going to run into it. But I snubbed Janine Garofalo years ago because I didn't think her set was very good.
Oh, she's awful. She stinks on ice.
I guess she's a public figure and you can say that.
Yes.
About her comedy,
yes.
Sure.
Yes, because
she needs Lemon Pledge for
the rest.
Because
a lot of people know that she's a public guy. People that know her stand-up know that she's not really that funny and she's more of an avant-garde comic, which means no laughs. But she's a public figure. Where if you go off on Janine Garofalo, yeah.
But I was talking about I ignored Janine Garofalo.
Good.
I was thinking about, because I wasn't very impressed with her set. Mm. So I wasn't going to like think, oh, nice
job. Yeah.
Because I really didn't
think probably stunk on ice. And, yeah.
Whatever. But I was going to say something to Ari if he was there. I was just going to be like, dude, why? And I'm nobody. So he doesn't know who I am.
No. But
And I saw this and it made me so mad. I'm like, I would rip. He's not an attractive man.
No.
I mean, when you think of middle-aged Jews, this is the guy you're thinking of. We are not known to be exceptionally attractive people as a whole. We have exceptions. We certainly do.
You know, it all comes down.
We have our attractive.
It all
Jews.
Comes down. Like,
listen to an Adam Sandler song. You'll know.
But yes. You know what? If he responded to you with a sense of purpose why he did that, you could respect that.
Absolutely.
It's a whole sense of purpose. Let me. What I'm getting at is this, and I've been thinking about this a lot. I do the whole thing in my act where I go, I goof on the gas station attendants with the turbans. Okay.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, people say, well, you know, the people who wear turbans feel like they're being profiled. I'm like, well, quit dressing like the enemy. Most of the time it works. But here's the thing. That joke is geared to, like, the gas station attendants that don't say thank you, that are rude. Two instances in the past, a month and a half, there were people in the audience. I did not do the joke on those shows, but there were Sikhs in there that were wearing the turbans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I thought about it, and I'm like, I go, what if I did that joke? I go, I would feel very bad about that because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't geared to that.
See, I had a similar situation back in the day. God, I don't remember what it was, but I had a joke about terrorists and whatnot. And there were Sikhs in the audience. What I did, and he was wearing the full Sikh regalia.
Yeah.
What I did was I turned and go, I go, don't look at him. He's not the, I go, he's just as scared as the rest. He's the first one out the door when he is tickled. So I brought him into it.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Go, hey, man, he's as scared as the rest. Don't be against this guy. I don't remember what it is. I got it on tape somewhere. But that's what I did in that. I'm not going to back away from a joke because people. Because I talked about this. I wouldn't do. When I was in the South and I was playing black audiences and I had the joke with the word nigga in it, the first show I didn't do that joke. But then I said, you know what? If I can't do it in front of a room full of black people, then I don't get to do this joke.
And
right.
And that's what you call conviction. And and that's the conviction, the way you felt on that. Anyway, I don't back away from a joke because you have conviction on what you wrote. Right. On my joke, I had conviction, but I'm starting to see how deep my conviction is when I thought of those two instances.
Right.
If Ari Shaffir comes in and goes, well, that's the way it felt. She's at that, you know, and, you know, she's looking for attention. You know, if that's his agenda on why he did that joke, that's his conviction. And I can respect the conviction. If you're strong about conviction, you know, that's your decision and you take the consequences. And I could respect that. That's why I'm not saying, well, you know what, Ari Shaffir shouldn't be doing that. If he's got the conviction,
I don't think he
and
does.
Bravado, then, you know, it's not on him.
He hasn't responded anywhere. I think he's getting more attention because of it than he deserves. I mean, we're talking about him. I didn't talk about the Stern thing when that broke like a month ago or anything. I mean, I just think this guy's desperate.
He
reeks of desperation, and it just makes me, like I said, with Comedy Central, that they are so much more. Like, I think I said this on the air. Remember you saw Joe Bronzi at Andiamo?
Yes.
Hilarious comedian.
Very funny.
So he was like, he's pitching his television show. He's got five networks interested in his TV show
mm-hmm.
and everything. And one of the meetings was with Comedy Central, and he said pretty much their attitude was, we know all the comics that we need to know, that like are on the rise, like the playmakers and everything. And my response to that is, really, then how come every time you create a vehicle for one of these comics, the show lasts 6 episodes and disappears? The only comic, the last comic they really made was Daniel Tosh. Because he had a special, and now he's got a show on Comedy Central.
Which is really good. I love that Tosh, Tosh part. That was really good.
Tosh is a funny comic. You know, as far as video shows go, very good. They didn't make Amy Schumer. Last Comic Standing made Amy Schumer. Mm-hmm. You know, Jon Stewart, you know, they certainly helped his career. They have taken Jon Stewart to the next level. But Jon Stewart was successful before then. It's not like they're really guessing right all the time.
No.
A lot of times, no.
No, they miss a lot. So to have that type of attitude and then put forth this crap in the opening 10 minutes of an hour special.
Awful.
Well, what gets me is sometimes that, you know, when you do see an early, like when they have a Comedy Central special on earlier in the night, they take the curses out of it. You know, and it's like, look, I'm playing for cable. I want to hear the curses.
Yeah, but that's a cable thing. I get what you're saying, but they have their reason.
It is entirely annoying, though, especially because you're watching comedy and the cursing, like, adds to the joke.
I don't watch comedy very often on Comedy Central.
Oh,
They don't even have stand-up comedy very often.
But you want to know something? Maybe on Comedy Central's end, maybe they figured if they did this, it was and they rationalized, well, it's another comic. If she complains, it'll look good for her. It'll be some notoriety,
I think
it'll get people to watch the special.
I don't know if that's their reasoning, but I think it is going to help her.
They do think, you know, they do say that, you know,
nobody would know about her.
No publicity is bad publicity.
She handled it well. She was classy.
Yes.
Yeah, if she's got the chops, if she's funny, she's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's funny or not.
Well, you know what? It does make me wonder, though, at what level of entertainment are you fair game?
Well, you heard mine.
Yeah.
You heard my thing. Now, I think if you're an open micer, it's a little unfair.
Yeah.
Because you're not really paid.
I'll tell you a story where I felt really bad about something. There was a comic that we know. He's like the gateway comic.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I was going to get the pen, you'll write it down, but I know.
I know who. Okay. Now, I was hanging out at Governor's one night, and he comes in. And
gateway comic. What is he, like the comic you meet before you get into real comedy?
He's the comic that you meet and move on, and he's just stayed there. For 18 years and never progressed. He can't even MC during a weekend.
There's a lot of comics like that. It's not for everybody.
But the thing is, I have frustration with him because I like the guy and he was nice enough to help me get back into comedy with a lot of open mics when I got back into it 17 years
ago. Now I
certainly
don't like him.
Shut your face. So... But so he's a nice enough guy.
He's a great guy.
And what we did one time was a bunch of us wanted to help him and help him cultivate his act. And we sat with him on Monday nights. We sat with him for like 2 hours helping him cultivate. Then we would go to the shows with him. And he wouldn't listen to a word we said. And he never progressed. And that's why I have frustration with him. Now,
but is he fair game to talk about on this show?
No. Because nobody knows him, and this is what I'm getting to. He walked into the club one night, and he was doing a produced show at Governor's one night.
Okay.
So he comes in, and I go, hey, what are you doing here? And he goes, oh, I'm going to be meeting with Mark in a couple of minutes. I'm going to be doing a produced show, and I got my contract. And I go, let me take a look at it. And I go, well, here's the first mistake. It says your name and the talent. Now, that joke was only supposed to be between me and him, all right? Just me to him goofing around.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was after the show, and all the comics, the monkey, the shooting guy was lined up, and everybody laughed. Everybody broke out.
How did that make you feel?
Bad.
Really?
Bad. Bad. Because I did not, and it's the context of it, I did not mean it for the other guys to
hear.
Well,
what I've seen comics do, and I actually chewed out a friend of a, hey, man, I chewed out. that was me a way of letting Joe know what I was talking about.
Yes, I gathered.
You know each other long enough. You can do this.
Hey, man.
So
you guys talk like an old married couple, by
the way. Yeah, we are, because essentially we are.
Yes, I know.
There's no more sex.
That's one thing in the comedy. They always tell you, the old married couple's here.
So I guess he had done a show. This is years ago. And I know the other comics on the show, and they did not do well in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the show.
Right.
So one of the first things he did was make fun of them sucking. And the other comics got mad at him. And I said, well, you know what? They're right. That's really, You did a dick move.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what happened in that room. There's no reason to call attention. Now, other comics do, but I'm always like, you know what, man? I don't need to put somebody else down.
And you know what? I'm sorry. Interrupt, but you said other comics do it. Yeah, and it's a dick move every time they do it. It's not. It's a dick move.
I don't do it. I mean, listen, Joe's seen me eat it. I've seen Joe eat it. You don't really draw attention to it. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was in the room.
Yeah.
The MC doesn't
I'll blame the audience. I'll be like, you people suck. And then I'll berate them. You guys have seen me do that, too.
Like you have the MC come up in between guys and goes, well, that blew. I'm going to have to do 10 when I was only going to be 3.
Oh, my God. Well, there was one that did. That was her name was Staller. When she used to do the audition nights of the comics, she pretty much especially when she would bring you on stage. Hussein got dragged into court with a better intro than she would give. He was the worst.
It was not a he, although close.
Yeah,
but see now you just named her, and she doesn't deserve to be named. She's no longer a public figure.
But in the
you're a terrible human being.
No, but in the context of this discussion. I'm not on national TV.
Close. And we didn't once discuss her washing habits.
Yeah.
I think she comes out all right. I think she's going to be all right. I think Ari comes out. I think he's going to move ahead because of this, and I think it's unfair. I'm not going to support anything he's doing now. Not that I was going to anyway. But, I mean, by doing that, I know enough about this guy to know I don't want to be
but
in his
circle. But you
know
what? If he continues to do this, that's his calling card. And he'll either sink or swim with it.
Well, I told you, I was doing this in the South. Maybe it was in Macon, Georgia, years ago. And I had a really good set on stage, but it was all rednecks. Black
Macon, Georgia? That's odd.
Yeah, wouldn't expect that.
Black comic comes on after me and everything. I hadn't had an issue with him up until this point. And he just starts going on about me. Well, I'm in the back of the room. Yeah, you know, those northern Jews, this, that, the other thing, thinking less, blah, blah, blah. And I came from the back all of a sudden. I go, wait, what are you dude, no, that's not it. Why don't you say that to my face? I got all up in it. And he was bigger than me. I'm like, you don't do that.
During the show?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't take shit like that. I try to be professional to everybody. Yeah. I always treat comics professionally and everything. And I would never do something like that. And he was like, first of all, he was trying to create a false impression.
Yeah.
Second of all, he was a hack.
Yeah.
He can't do what I do. And he shouldn't have been headlining, and that's what so his way was diminishing me.
To make himself look better.
Exactly, and I'm still, that ain't going to happen.
See, you know, you never diminish the other comic. You go up there and kicking up ass that everybody forgets who was on before you.
Right.
That's
the way it's done, you know?
I don't worry about what's going on in front of me, because whether it's good or bad, I know I'm going to do my thing.
Now, if he was going up there, if he was saying certain things during your set, that might have been derogatory, or you know,
I wasn't though. I was much nicer.
But that's what I'm saying.
All black comedians suck.
But that's what I'm
saying. And also, how
right? Yeah. And
Pippi looks. That's why Pippi looks.
But that's what I'm saying. If you did do that and was saying derogatory things and making fun of people that didn't deserve to get made fun of,
right? Sure.
And he went up there and addressed it and started goofing on you. Hey, you made your bed, dude. Sorry.
Yeah.
But if you didn't do any of that, yeah. What are you doing?
I was a much nicer comic then. Mm. Probably why I was in the middle. But but yeah, man. So I don't. I think. I've been on both sides of it, and I think it's a dick move. I don't think you really need to call attention unless it's in a positive way to the other comics.
Now, what did the audience do when you came back out and started like laying into them about making fun of you?
I think they were right, but then there was the other time with
Then there was the other time.
Another time.
I'll mention his name. He's been on our show, Steve Hofstetter. Where him and I had an incident. Mm. He brought his opener for the college tour to host, didn't do very well. I went up there in the feature role, had a great set and everything. By mistake, I drew attention to his book or something that he sells. I didn't realize because it was an eclectic background and everything. So, and then he goes up there and he starts trying to goof on me. And he's struggling and everything. And now the audience is looking at me because I'm in the back of the room. The staff is looking at me like, what are you gonna do? They're waiting for me.
It's called calling the moment. You've got to call the moment.
But no, I didn't. I just kind of sat back there. I go, the act speaks for itself. I don't got to say anything. Because here's a guy who's drowning.
Yeah.
And you're bringing down the guy that just did well. That would be like, You know, Joe goes on before me. Joe has a great set in front of me. The audience loves him. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's going to be a tough night for me to follow Joe.
Right.
And my way of handling it is to diminish Joe. What Joe did. Now, I follow Joe when Joe's had great sets, when I'm sitting there going, all right, this is a Joe Curry type of crowd.
Right.
He's got a little different type of crowd than I have. Yes. And everything. But I've never gone, well, we're going to diminish this. I go give it up for Joe, and sometimes with Joe or Larry DeFelice or somebody, sometimes there's a couple minutes before they get into my thing because it's a different type of speed.
Yeah,
but I get them.
Yeah,
and whether Joe had a better set or not, it doesn't matter.
No,
but I'm not going to diminish, especially somebody they liked. That's
right.
That's a great way to alienate an audience. Hey, we just love this guy or girl for 30, 40 minutes, whatever the hell it is. Now you're going to shit on them? You're now shitting on what we think is funny.
Right,
and,
right.
And also, it's also a perception of something. When we work together, I'll do this joke about wanting to be sponsored by Jack Daniels for a diet, the Jack Daniels diet. You've seen me do the joke.
Yes.
Now, the lead-in that we were doing was we pretty much did when we were on a tour, the tour of the Midwest. Is I would go up and I would go, we do a show called Darren's Den, and we do a thing called the Fat Horse Challenge where I'd have to eat something disgusting. And I go, I had to eat snails. I had to eat this. I had to eat cat food out of a bowl because Darren said I was a bad kitty. And people would go, oh. And then I do this and that and the other thing. And then I go, ladies and gentlemen, he's entertainment, Darren. And Darren would have to struggle maybe for 2 or 3 minutes because they had in
he's
their
the
mind
bad
that the bastard that made me eat cat food.
Yes.
And I remember there was one night, he goes, could you please not do that?
I would have to call that moment. I couldn't start where I wanted to start because the act in front of me, in this case Joe, is putting a negative frame. That's a way comics will try to move up on the guy behind them. You know, the guy who's on the higher rung.
Yeah.
By putting a negative comment. It's a really dick move. He wasn't doing it for that reason.
No.
But it's a really dick, unprofessional move to do.
Yes.
And I can overcome it and everything. They'll find out what a dick I am soon enough. But it does, it puts you behind the eight ball.
It was actually helping prepare them for your dickishness.
It was
paving the way.
It goes back to what we were discussing in the beginning. I stopped doing that maybe after two shows. And the reason why is they don't know him.
Right.
They don't know him. Why am I buried? They don't know him.
Yeah,
and it's almost like I said with that situation. I'm putting you in a fair. I'm saying stuff about you that's not right because they don't know you. They're not in on the joke yet.
Right.
Or they don't know the show. So I mean, if like I said, if once again we were doing a road show, all of our fans and stuff, when I did that, I would do that in a heartbeat. Why?
Right.
Because they know about
right.
it.
So it's like I'm going after Joe. If I goof on Joe, you know. In a fun way. It's okay because they already know Joe.
Right.
And if I'm goofing at Joe in my set, they already know me. So I can goof on Joe. Joe can be in the back of the room, fire back.
And the whole thing would be cool. And he made me, you know, and for the people, well, he made me eat cat food out of the bowl with no spoon because I was a bad kitty. And the people in the audience are going to sit there and go, because you didn't lose 2 pounds that week, stupid.
Yeah,
they
right.
They know
right,
about
right.
it. They
then
know the
they're
backstory.
They're already in, you know. Well,
and that's the difference.
That's what we've talked about this show. It's like once you know the characters, and you know, if somebody heard, you know, Davin say stupid, they'd be like, oh, poor Joe, you know, or it's like,
God, I hope that doesn't happen.
Or, you know, or
I would hate for them to feel empathetic. Wait, hold on. You bring up a good point. If you're new to the show and I call Joe stupid, fair listener, I want you to understand something from the bottom of my
endearment.
Heart. It's because he is. Listen more. You'll understand. Go on, Pip.
Well, it's like some of the things that we say to one another out of context sound really mean, but it's like they don't. But anybody who listens to us for a while knows
that's
just
really
how we roll. We're really vicious people.
We're terrible. We're despicable. Yeah. There's no hiding that. It's really shades of despicability, but all
it is
despicable.
It's all despicable, different levels.
All right. So we all think the guy's a dick.
Totally.
We disagree on whether he's a fair target, but we all agree he's a dick.
I don't think he's a dick. I think he's a dick if he doesn't feel conviction about doing that thing.
So wait, if you're really convicted to being an asshole?
If you have a conviction of delivering that material and you stand behind it.
So let me ask you a question to bring this to its most to bring us to the conclusion all the way to the end. Because Hitler really believed that 6 million Jews deserve to die, he was convicted in that belief. It's all good?
No.
Really? It's not the only Hitler material.
You always.
You're the one with the Hillary Clinton Hitler shit. No, that was a Benghazi meme. I apologize. That was other right wingers that had the Hillary.
Yeah,
Hitler
all right, I'm not that crazy. All right, I'm not that nuts. But what I'm saying is, you kept carrying a horrendous.
Look at Pip and I got silent. Looked at each other. Go. All right. Well, we already.
All right. Moving along.
Running late as it is, we won't go there.
Right. But no, you can't compare Hitler to that. Come on. But
no. But I'm saying if conviction.
In the context of a comic, if you have the conviction of belief in the material and you go out there and you do it and you stand by it.
That she's a fat girl that smells and has one arm?
No, that you stand by it, that I did say that and I stand behind what I did on that special. Then, you know.
Doesn't mean he's not a dick. Doesn't mean the things he said about her are dicks. You can't insult somebody's physical appearance and not be a dick.
I understand, right. But it, just as somebody, you know, judge not and ye shall not be judged. I'm saying if he has the conviction that he stands behind what he did, okay, I don't agree what he did, but I give him the right for him, if he has the conviction that he felt right,
it's
to
lazy.
Stand there with it.
It's the same thing when a comic attacks an audience member who's not doing anything for being fat or having glasses or being bald or being a race. It's lazy.
Lazy.
You're out of options. All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
But, all right, yeah, I'm not a big fan of his.
Nope.
So Trevor Noah was named the replacement for Jon Stewart for
right.
The Daily Show whenever Jon decides to step down. Now, who's...
excuse me. Give me a moment. I have to get over it all over again. Sorry.
Big fan.
I love Jon Stewart.
I do too. He's very good.
I really do. I'd have his babies if I was capable.
Okay.
That might make him quit sooner. To move away from
you. Get me Jon Stewart and a turkey baster.
Is he going to be their next bumper sticker? I got Stewart's babies. You gonna travel and stalk him like you did your other one?
Yes, I'm going to get that sticker made up right after the show.
She starts knowing everybody. Oh, I know the warm-up comic. I met him. He's a friend. Yeah,
yeah, starts hanging out with him.
Yep. Oh, Key Grip, he's a good guy. Yeah.
So
it's too true. I can't deny. Shit.
So Trevor Noah is really an unknown in this country. He's been on some of the late-night shows. He was on Leno and everything. He was on a couple of others. He's very big in South Africa. Very big overseas. He's got like 2 million followers on Twitter. And he's been on The Daily Show 3 times as a correspondent.
Yeah, I've seen him.
Honestly, I was not blown away.
No.
But I didn't know they were going to name him the guy.
I know.
So here's the thing. So he had these tweets from several years ago. Because when he first named him, everybody's like, oh, Trevor Noah, it's going to be so exciting. That's what a lot of people are saying. And then they started dumpster diving in his tweets. And the mood changed. There's a little bit of firestorm. Here are some of the Trevor Noah's tweets from, I want to say, 4 or 5 years ago? 3, 4, 5 years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
So, not recent stuff, but... almost bumped a Jewish kid crossing the road. He didn't look before crossing, but I still would have felt so bad in my German car.
That was 2009.
Behind every successful rap billionaire is a double as rich Jewish man. Hashtag beats by dreidel.
That was last year.
Oh yeah, The Weeknd. People are going to get drunk and think I'm sexy. Fat chicks everywhere.
That was 2011.
Originally, well, I guess that's why you got that whole thing that every guy has that. I mean, I don't about
yep.
chicks being fat, but, you know, only their ass. They really got to, you know, work on that. But anyway. And their rolls. They really got to work. And your tits are sagging. But other than that, I got nothing. And really, a triple chin, it's a little much. Enough with the Haagen-Dazs.
Oh, my God.
I never would do something like that.
I know.
Fat girls can kick my ass.
Yes, they can.
Yes, they can. Originally, this is another one. Originally, when men proposed, they went down on one knee. So if the woman said no, they were in the perfect uppercut position.
I love that. I think that's hilarious.
Okay. So that one's okay. Pip likes a good domestic abuse tweet.
You know, that one gets my
Miss crying for what the tragedy last week of abuse is suddenly, you know what? You know, hit a bitch. That's all I'm saying.
It doesn't mean they really would. It's funny.
Because it's really hard to get a lot of velocity if you're lower.
Yeah.
I mean, you really got to be.
It's all about leverage.
Yeah, leverage. That's
right.
The word.
Yeah, it's all about
you
leverage.
You really can hit a bitch from when you're standing over her. That's really when you do the kill shot. It's a lot tougher.
from down below.
But now, if she's a fat chick, I bet she could take that punch. A little petite girl, you're still going to do damage.
Yeah, but you're not going to get the jaw from that location. You punch them right. Well, never mind.
You're going to miss because her face is so small, like a fucking bird.
Smushy. Smushy.
Smushy.
Yeah, there's a lot of smushiness to
oh,
get
for the fat.
Before you get to the harsh
but really,
jaw.
Nobody's proposing to a fat chick, so this is ridiculous.
Oh, God.
See, I don't have jokes like that.
No, I know. But you're killing me.
Look
saying
at you.
Them.
Joe's got his series face. I highlighted.
What's with that yellow page over there, Joe?
He peed on it. No, Joe was just pointing out the important things. Another one of his tweets.
Highlighter.
Is that a euphemism
you
for highlighter?
You peed on that piece of paper. I couldn't find a highlighter. I needed for tonight's show.
Oh my God.
12% of the population gets there. All right. Oh, so that was the tweets. So here's a fact about it. 12% of the population says they get their news from The Daily Show, and Jon Stewart's been called the most trusted man in news. And you know what? I could believe that.
I can, too.
There's a certain humanity that Jon Stewart has, whether you're left
yes.
or right.
Yes.
You know, he's got a humanity about him. He's very good at that. So what do you think of the tweets?
They're jokes. I'm getting so sick and tired of people treating comedians like we're running for Congress or the presidency.
Well, some of us are. Al Franken. Senator.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and that...
And Dennis Miller, you know, very influential on the right, mm-hmm. who's a comic. Jon Stewart, very influential on the left. So you can't just say he's a comic. And Trevor Noah is walking in to this esteemed chair where people do look to him, or look to that position as the voice of our country, maybe? I don't know.
That, you know what? We're putting too much importance
but you
on
can't
it.
Right. But you can't just say he's a comic when we're talking about The
but,
Daily Show.
Yes, I can, because we're putting too much importance on The Daily Show. It's a satirical show.
12%. They're called the most trusted man in news.
Because most of the American public are assholes. I go...
No, because they trusted Bill O'Reilly and Brian Williams, and they lied.
But you have to take that with a grain of salt as well.
Who do you trust more than him to give you the news? Honestly. Do you watch The Daily Show?
Yeah.
Who do you trust more?
Currently,
not back in yesteryear, when you know, not Cronkite and shit like that.
Yeah.
Currently,
I would trust like the morning news shows, like NBC, CBS, the nightly news.
You trust them? Well, Brian Williams was the nightly news.
Okay, but
that didn't work out.
But I mean, you got to understand something. The you're looking for regular news. You go to a regular news.
I understand
program.
That, but people aren't, unfortunately.
Well, but the thing is, because they're looking to be entertained. The news is the news. It's not entertainment.
Well,
okay?
It is. The more and more they put on fluff pieces. You know, they don't really. We've talked about this before. They don't do investigative reporting like they used to. It's
no.
Like, oh, we can get our chihuahua's toenails manicured. Let's talk about that for 5 minutes on the morning show. I mean, they're not doing hard news anymore.
They're doing those things at night now.
Yeah, more. You're right. More The Daily Show and regular news have kind of blurred.
But the thing about it is with the I mean all of it is entertainment now. But if you want to go to the you know the news, if I you know what I you know where I go for my news I go to
memes
10 tens. I go to 10 tens. That's where I go. I turn that motherfucker right on. No.
Why did the stupid voice automatically have to go to a black voice? I don't know. You were being an asshole, and you dragged black people.
Because I was using it in a plural, and African Americans sometimes use things in a plural.
So do you, apparently, and you're white.
I go to 10-10 wins. I go to CBS. Those are the straight ahead news stations.
They are on the radio.
Yeah,
okay. On the radio.
Yeah.
They
on the
give
radio.
You news.
That's pretty much where I go for my news. The Daily Show is.
Well, this is on television, though. This is the most trusted news
then
on television.
Then I would go to News 4. I would go to Channel 2 News. I would go to.
The anchors?
Yeah, the regular news there.
But I look at those anchors as just like reading the shit that's in front of them.
But you're asking me where am I to go? It's like saying, well, if you were in choppy waters, where would you go? I would try to go to where the more calmer waters are. I'm in water. You're asking me what I would. I'm going there. That's what I'm being given. Those shows, even though they're trying to be entertainment, are not farcical. All right, The Daily Show is farcical. So you're putting way more
I think you're underestimating The Daily Show a little bit. I think they give you news and facts, and then they give you the twist, which is what comics are. Comics mm-hmm. do. When you know we're doing stand-up, we'll talk about a story, you know, a headline and everything. That's the news. Then we give you the twist. The Daily Show is doing that too. So you are getting the news, and then you're getting their spin.
The comedy on, spin.
Whereas, like, if you watch the news because you're going there thinking that this is going to be the news, most of us, you don't realize they're spinning it. At least with the Daily Show, you go, all right, here comes the bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, like, the regular news, go, oh, this is real, and then you dig down and you investigate, go, oh, this was bullshit.
But the thing is, you know what you're getting.
I don't think most people do.
You go to the when you perceive to go to news, you go to the regular news outlets. You go to your news 4, Channel 2.
Oh yeah, of course you do.
Outlets, okay. When you want to go to news, it's your perspective.
But you're telling me outlets. I said he's the most trusted man. So that's what I'm saying. Because they used to be known as like Rather and Brokaw and Cronkite. That's where you got your news.
Yeah.
So what this poll is telling you is. Not what station you go to, but the one guy, John Stewart's that most trusted guy, because we don't have a Brokaw, and Rather lied too, as it turns out.
We don't believe any of them
exactly.
Anymore.
We don't have that Cronkite anymore. But that being said,
As Lisa said, maybe Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Good
that's
point.
That's a good
point.
Yeah. He's a good example.
You know, but like I said, it's essentially a show on Comedy Central. That is a farcical show on the news, okay? The guy is a comic, okay? He made tweets a couple of years ago. That's what comics do.
Yeah. I think it's wrong. First of all, I don't think Twitter is a great way to convey a joke.
No.
It's very hard to convey the meaning of the joke, what you're going for in 140 characters or less.
You can't get a lot of nuance in there.
That's why I don't really tweet much to @DavinComedy @DavinsDen on occasion. But it's hard. I don't think it's fair to judge a comic. I don't think it's fair to discount him from getting this job because he tweeted. But that's what we do. More and more people lose jobs.
Because we're becoming a nation of babies.
But that's the nation he's going to tell the news to. That's the nation. We've talked about teachers losing jobs.
That's the show that he's going to be giving a farcical twist on the news. That's what you got. You're not getting. It's a farcical twist on the news. You're putting too much into it. It's the Daily Show. It's a farcical twist on the news.
Unfortunately, that's where a lot of people are getting.
Then a lot
of
people are idiots.
What happens if he was running for Senate, like Al Franken did? And he had these tweets. He was a comic at the time. Now he's running for senator.
Because the position is not a farcical position. And might
But would you judge him? Would you hold it against him, the tweets he had as a comic? Would you hold those tweets from 5 years ago if he was running for Senate now?
No, because it would be based on his platform, how he feels on his platform, how he wants to steer the country.
I think most
issues.
I think most people would not do that, though.
Most people are stupid.
Yeah.
Most people are stupid.
When
they go into a farcical news show to get most of their information, most people are stupid. Hey, let me tell you something. A lot of things that are going on in the world, people don't even realize. I wish they would tape it to the ass of every dancer on Dancing with the Stars, and maybe people would start to find out what's really going on in the world. Most people are stupid.
But that's all by design. All of this Dancing with the Stars and all these things, they're designed to make people like, you know, television is the opiate of the masses, just like religion is. It's to make people divert their attention away from the things that are really going on, the important things that are earth-shaking.
I think Comedy Central's doing the right thing by standing by him.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But I think they should have done a better job of researching and go, dude, delete these, please. Before they announced them to avoid, and somebody would have come up with it somewhere.
Yeah,
but I, you know, there's no reason. He's a comic. Yeah. I don't think these mean he's an anti-Semite or sexist. He probably is a little bit.
Could be, but it's not.
We're gonna find out.
Well, it's almost the whole thing with the Ari Shaffir. Comedy Central didn't do their homework.
I think they're happy with who they picked because they're standing by him. I personally, my big beef with the whole thing is this is an American show.
Mm-hmm.
It's geared towards Americans.
Right.
It's about American culture and about American politics and everything. We can't find one American to host this show.
Yeah.
I really don't. I think it's going to be a problem for South America because I think it's going to look like talking down to us.
Yeah. I get that feeling a lot.
Yeah. Whereas with Jon Stewart, whether you were left or right, and people hate him, but he had a humanity, and he did make fun of both sides.
Yes.
But I think Jon Stewart was always making fun of the politicians
yes.
and the news media, whether it be Fox or MSNBC. You know, with MSNBC, it was, you know, Bridgegate. With Fox, it's pretty much everything else. But I think people felt like, well, he's one of us.
Right.
Even if he is a Jew and not really an American.
But the thing about it, we don't know much about Trevor Noah. Maybe he does have that endearing quality. I'm thinking, obviously, Comedy Central's is trying to make that show as popular as it was.
Jon Stewart grew into the position he was. He was replacing Craig Kilborn. He was not what he was. He evolved.
And the thing about it is how you made that show. Craig Kilborn, I like when Kilborn was on. I like Jon Stewart a lot better.
Yes.
But Kilborn had his
agenda. I like Kilborn, too.
Yep,
Kilborn was very good on that show. Kilborn decided to leave.
Uh-huh.
He brought in this guy, Jon Stewart, whoever Jon Stewart is. Jon Stewart took it over and made it his own.
Yep.
Now, Trevor Noah, they probably have the same feeling about him. Look at The Tonight Show. Jack Parr made it his own. Johnny Carson made it his own.
Yep.
Jay Leno made it his own. Now you have
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon doing a great job making it his own.
His own, yes.
You know, and that's what maybe that's how they feel with Trevor Noah and why they're standing behind him. This guy has got the talent. He's got the chops. He's got the charisma where he can make it his own. We don't know enough. I mean, when Jon Stewart took over, it's like Craig Kilborn. Who's Jon Stewart? And the guy made an amazing run, an amazing show. So, you know.
It remains to be seen.
And you hit the nail on the head. It remains to be seen. So to go by these tweets is foolhardy because the man hasn't even done the first show yet.
It remains
to be seen.
Yeah, let's hang him over a couple of odd tweets.
Yeah, that's what I think people got. I think people got to relax. Give this guy a chance. I mean, what I've seen, I'm not really impressed, but I'm going to give him a chance. Now, I haven't liked any of the other shows that they've put on other than Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know Stephen Colbert is very popular, and I could see that. I could see why.
I loved him.
Yeah, Larry Wilborn.
You also said something. I'm not impressed about what he tweeted. All right, you're not. But he wasn't hired to tweet. He was hired to do this show. So
right,
we're going to
say, listen, I'm very well aware that should we wind up on OWN, I have a lot of terrible things in social media. There is, I said a lot of terrible things on this show. So I would use the same thing. I'm a comic. If you know me, you know who I am, and you know the difference. If not, it is what it is.
Right.
You know, and that's all you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people are going to judge by social media.
Of course. People
lost jobs over social media. It's a shame, but that's the world we live in. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back with Scammers. You are listening to Davin's Den.
You can listen to Davin's Den live every Tuesday to Davin's on davinsden.com, iHeartRadio, The Indie Authority, ruthlessradio.fm, TalkSuperStation.com, CyanNetRadio.com, Gone Rogue Radio, HawkRadio.net. Also, you can download the TuneIn app on your Apple or Android device and search for Davin's Den. On iHeartRadio, you will find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps so you can listen live on your mobile devices. Platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. You can download previous shows from the following places: davincomedy.com, davinsden.com, stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, ruthlessradio.fm, tunein.com. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.